Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Special day in Major League Baseball today, as every single player will adorn the number of 42 to honor Jackie Robinson. It's Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. And I want to get a little perspective on it from a guy who is inside the game. Got a couple other questions to run by him here in the first 2 weeks of the season. Former executive Major League Baseball Mets general manager, now host of the Leadoff Spot on SiriusXM's Major League Baseball Network radio station, Steve Phillips joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Steve?
Jordan Mack, good. Doing well. Happy to be with you.
My pleasure. Thank you. You've been around the game for a long time. When Major League Baseball decided to go to the lengths of having every player wear number 42 on Jackie Robinson Day, how fitting a tribute do you think that was?
Oh, I think it's absolutely an appropriate thing. You know, and I remember going back to, I think it was 1997, I was the assistant general manager of the Mets when they had the first Jackie Robinson. Was effectively, it was the day that they honored the 50th anniversary of Jackie coming to the major leagues and playing at the major league level. And Bill Clinton, Rachel Robinson, and Commissioner Selig were on the field at Shea Stadium that day. We were playing the Dodgers, you know, it was the day that they unveiled they were retiring the number. And I remember it that day vividly. You know, taking unveiling the number on the outfield wall, and that would forever be retired. And I know from reading Jason Stark's column over the weekend, he had kind of a chronicle of everything that had taken place. That Rachel Robinson and Sharon Robinson, his wife and daughter Jackie's, were concerned. They thought that the people might not accept it well, but the stadium stood up, applauded, roared their approval. And ever since then, I guess it was like 2006, 2007, 2008, when they decided to have everybody wear the number. And it's so appropriate. I think it's worth acknowledging and making a big deal about it. And, you know, it does say something about baseball, where a lot of people think the game's kind of slow to change and it's antiquated. Baseball has been a pioneer in a number of ways, and certainly socially and culturally, with Jackie Robinson being the first African-American player at the major league level. It was a huge step forward in society back then. So I think it's a tremendous honor for Jackie, and an acknowledgement and a reminder to us in baseball and in society that we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. And we've got a lot more in common than we have different. And certainly people of all races, creeds, and colors and orientations can love the game of baseball and appreciate it together.
Along those lines, and I agree with everything you said, and kudos to Major League Baseball, certainly to Jackie and what he did, what he went through, what he accomplished, and how much he advanced the game, but good by baseball for continuing to do the right thing by him. The number of African-American players in baseball continues to shrink. I don't believe it's from lack of effort from Major League Baseball and or that anything is held against African-American young men. You worked for a couple Major League teams. You know that any one of them will do whatever they can to get the best players to win. They're all very competitive and want to win World Series. So there's no racial overtones involved, but the number of players are dropping and have continued to drop. I think baseball has attempted to do the best they could with their RBI programs throughout urban areas in the United States, but it hasn't really shown itself in numbers. Is there anything that Major League Baseball could do more to get more young African-American players interested in baseball and pursuing it and getting to the level where they're good enough to be drafted and then eventually make it to the major leagues?
Yeah, I think here's the first thing. I agree. Scouts are colorblind. I mean, if a general manager, I never cared. There were times that I actually got players that I traded for and that I hadn't seen play, and just based upon scouting reports, and when I got them, I thought they were white and they were black, or I thought they were black and they were white. I didn't know, and I didn't care. And I know that we had players that we scouted, and scouts want to just get players. But I think it comes down to, the pool of players from which to choose from. And the game has changed. Like at one point, the high point, I think we had 28% African-American, somewhere around there, and now it's down to 8%. And what's happened is that the 20% drop hasn't been filled by more white players. It's been filled by Hispanic, Latino players, right, and foreign-born players, and the numbers have spiked in that area. It's because more players have played in the Latin countries. They've been, you know, and scouts are going down there finding those players. And so, you know, the RBI program is a good step in the right direction. No question about that. The challenge that exists is that in order to play at a level where you can be seen by scouts or by college coaches, it's these showcase events that now take place. The game's changed, right? College coaches aren't going out scouting. They want you to create a showcase event, and they'll go to the showcase event where they can watch a bunch of players in one visit instead of, you know, trekking around trying to find everybody. Those cost money. It's you know, playing baseball has become very expensive, and I think that in a lot of ways it has limited opportunities for players. The other thing that's changed is society's changed, you know, kids don't play as much baseball. You know, kids play baseball in batting cages now. Right? Kids go to the batting cage and they hit and they think that they had a baseball practice for a day, where we used to play pickup games back when I was a kid and I grew up in Detroit. We'd play pickup games in the neighborhood and go out and play. Now kids have so many different opportunities. And so, you know, I think baseball's trying to address it. I think we've seen more, and maybe the progress is being made. We've seen more African-American young men drafted in the first round of the draft, and maybe it's because they're getting more opportunities to play at youth levels and therefore developing their skills in a way that they can be seen at a higher level. But there's a way to go, but it is something that I think clearly Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball is committed to a program to grow it, and I think it's the right thing to do, and hopefully the results will show itself at some point.
Let me ask you about one of those players. We're talking to Steve Phillips, former Major League Baseball executive, now show host on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. One of those players from a background that has grown in Major League Baseball over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and that's the Far East. The Japanese Babe Ruth, Shohei Ohtani, who has been talked about now for a year and change as maybe the best player in baseball who's not in Major League Baseball right now. He's playing in Japan again this year. He was hurt, so he didn't get to play in the World Baseball Classic this season, but he decided to stay in Japan again this past offseason. And if he comes over within the next couple of years, he's going to come over under more restricted rules with a new collective bargaining agreement, which kind of puts teams on an even footing, that there isn't an advantage to a team that has a bigger payroll and has the ability to throw out major money for a posting fee and the like. Do the new baseball rules, is it better for baseball that this is in place, that more teams have a shot at a guy like Ohtani? If you can, explain it better than I just did as to the rules of how a team can try and procure this amazing young player from Japan.
Yeah. Now, he'll be able to be posted, and therefore there's a posting fee, and then if you match the fee, then you can make a deal with the player. But it is, you know, look, it is more restrictive than just open free agency. And, you know, the Japanese team has to buy into it, that they're willing to part and get their payday off of it as well. It's not exclusively the young man's decision, although he can work with the organization. It is one that you know, the rules keep changing on all of this, right? And with new CBA, international signings and budgets are a bit more restrictive. But, you know, there are certain players that fall outside the parameters of that. And as a major league player beyond the age of 24, he has a little bit more flexibility than others. And I do think it's a good thing that more teams have access to star players. And the one thing that I've learned, and I signed a number of Japanese players when I was much general manager, for a number of reasons. One, because they were good players. Two, because I thought with the diversity in New York that it made sense for us to have a diverse roster. Why not try to engage your entire population around your team to try to bring more fans out to the ballpark? And so what I have found is players that play in the Nippon Professional Baseball League, the Japanese Professional League, they want it. The words they have used is they want to find their place in the baseball world, and where they can be stars in Japan, they want to know how that translates baseball-wise to the United States. And so, you know, many of those players will come. It's a matter of when, not if, for Ohtani. The question will be, when he comes, will he be a guy who pitches on some days and then plays in the outfield on some days and actually does get to utilize all of the skills and abilities that he has available to him? I think that that would be so intriguing to be able to watch. And there are some people here in the States that think, why doesn't Madison Bumgarner get to hit on a more regular basis on a day he's not pitching? So Ohtani's an intriguing guy, no question.
Do you think, and I know we're at least the rest of this season away from it, and the young man, apparently, I just read a great article on him, is a real quiet kid. He's not as showy as some of his Japanese teammates. He's still very young and acts like a young man, whereas some professional athletes here in this country at age 20 are already running their worlds, that he hasn't really hinted at what he's looking to do other than, yes, he wants to challenge himself to play against the best in the world, which is Major League Baseball. What do you think is going to be the driving factor? If the money's going to be equal for a whole bunch of teams, is it join the best team, join the best way for him to market himself away from the game? Is it going to be a city that has a big Japanese population? Does anybody have a leg up in your eyes?
Yeah, I you know, my experience has been the teams that have had the best opportunity were the New York teams. I felt like the Yankees and the Mets, and I certainly was with the Mets at the time. Seattle, with the ownership previously with the sort of Nintendo group there had a connection as well, and there is a population there to be able to draw upon. And the Dodgers have certainly, I think, had an advantage there as well. So I think that, you know, that scene, and the Giants were a lot of West Coast because of the convenience of travel from Asia has made some sense there too. But those have been the teams that I have always believed have had a leg up because of the connection to the Japanese community or to the larger market and the media attention. You know, Ichiro certainly has played in, and look, Ichiro still today, even with Marlins, he has media members who follow him around that every day they document his showing up to the ballpark. And every day he walks up knowing the cameras are there and he gives them something of a hello for the day and this is what I'm looking forward to today. He knows that when he goes out on the field that the Japanese media will follow him. There's an acceptance and an understanding to it. But a lot of times the larger markets make sense for those Japanese stars because of the media connection going back to Japan. And look, whether somebody's quiet or not, if it opens up, you know, opportunities, sponsorship deals, and those sorts of additional money-making ventures, the larger markets make sense in that way as well. So, I'd be surprised if players, the star players like Ohtani, wouldn't be drawn to the markets that I mentioned.
Steve, good stuff. We appreciate you coming on, sharing some insights on both Jackie Robinson and this Shohei Ohtani, who's got a chance to be a guy who's one of the best players in baseball when he does come over. Appreciate a couple minutes of your time. Have yourself a great Easter. We'll talk again somewhere down the road.
Thanks, Jody Mac. Always appreciate it.
Our pleasure. That is Steve Phillips, former general manager of the Mets, now does a very good show, Leadoff Spot on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. The Ohtani thing is very interesting because he's supposedly the best hitter in Japan. He's unquestionably the best pitcher in Japan. And he wants to continue to do both. He considers himself a pitcher and a player, which baseball hasn't done in, like, forever. That you're one or the other. You dedicate yourself to one of the two. This kid's got enough juice and gravitas that he's going to be able to dictate, specifically because he's going to be a free agent, and he's going to lay down the law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.